This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Freddie Bell. And on the program this weekend, we welcome Cassie Crandall. She has some lifestyle information for you. We talk about your money, too. Libel Sternbach stops by. Also, our friends from AARP Minnesota stop by. And we have some great information for you from our news desk with this week and also some items just for fun. All this and more on New Beginnings. And stand by because the show starts right now. And with us right now is the esteemed state director for AARP Minnesota, Kathy McLear. And Kathy, it's so exciting to be talking with you again. It seems like we just don't talk often enough.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back with you, Freddie. I appreciate the invitation.
I'm excited to talk about, you've got this huge initiative that's coming around again for the Andrus Award for Community Service. Can you tell us about that and when the window opens?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Freddie, so many people know about 8-Year Peace advocacy work or about our information and resources that we provide, not just to our members, but to those 50 and older. But really, from the very beginning in 1958, we've also been a service organization. And our motto that was established by our founder, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, is to serve, not to be served. And so in her memory and honor, every year we recognize an outstanding volunteer who uses their talents and their skills to enrich the lives of others through our Andrus Award for Community Service. And nominations are now open, and we are seeking nominations for the award through the end of July.
How do you go about nominating someone for this prestigious award?
Yeah, it's super easy. All you have to do is go to aarp.org/MN. So the AARP Minnesota website, and all you have to do is simply nominate a Minnesotan who is age 50 or older, who just truly embodies that definition of volunteerism. And, you know, it can be someone who has achievements or accomplishments that serve their community, as long as they're doing it on a volunteer basis. So not getting paid to do it. And just, someone who's just really outstanding and an inspiration to those around them. And so we're just looking for people who are doing good work to make their communities better places, helping out their neighbor, and doing good work.
Kathy, is it just one person who will be selected for the award?
So we have honored couples or partners who perform service together. Teams are not eligible. So if you've got a team, you know, maybe from the office or your church or something, that's a whole team of people that does something. We try to stay away from teams, but an individual or a couple of partners who do that work in tandem, we're happy to recognize those individuals.
The Andrus Award also enables the recipient to continue their work, as I understand it.
Yeah, so we do a really nice thing with our award. You get a lovely kind of crystal award, the recognition. We do a little bit of media and outreach, but the award recipient also receives $1,500. And they can choose to donate that that prize to the nonprofit organization of their choice. And so it really is an opportunity to not only recognize the nominee or the honoree, but to keep their good work paying forward as well.
So you're honoring these individuals. Tell us how we can do that. And also, how can you, I'm sure that AARP Minnesota is also looking for volunteers as well.
Yeah, of course. So one more reminder, if you want to nominate someone for the 2022 Andrus Award, just go to our website, aarp.org/MN, and we've got a great article. It'll link you right to the form, and you can take care of all of that right on the spot. But you're absolutely right. So, you know, most people don't know that we just have a staff of 8 people in the AARP Minnesota office, and so we could not do even a fraction of the work that we do with our advocacy, our education and information, and our great community service work without volunteers. And so we are interested in recruiting some folks. We know after the pandemic, people are looking forward to getting back out and getting back into their communities. And we would love to have folks join us in our efforts to make our communities better places.
Very interesting. So if you're interested in learning about the volunteer opportunity, is there an information session coming up, Kathy?
We do have a couple of information centers coming up. We have a couple in July and one in August. And again, you can learn all about that at aarp.org/MN.
She's Kathy McLear. She is the state director for AARP Minnesota. Kathy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151. 888-711-1151 or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
In our never-ending effort to find valuable information and insight in all areas, it's time to bring in Cassie Crandall with this week's Three Things.
Thanks, Freddie. Hey, happy weekend, everybody. Hope you have lots of fun summer plans. Here's my thing number one. Did you know that Panaprog, Panorama of Progress, is a festival that's been going on in Lakeville, Minnesota for, 55 years, I believe, since 1967. The Panaprog has been a week-long event. Well, maybe in 67 it wasn't a week-long, but it is now. And more events have been added over the years. Starts out on July 4th with fireworks and such activities, all sorts of activities going on. From July 4th through the 10th, there's art on the lawn, there's a canine demonstration, there's a family fun fair and carnival, a couple nights with live music and dancing, and even a parade. This is a great family event, but not just for families. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite events in Minnesota in the summer. So that's Lakeville Panaprog, July 4th through the 10th. All right, my thing number two this week, have you started receiving text messages from your doctors and dentists and other places you might have appointments with? That's a fairly new thing that's been going on, and I'm kind of wondering, how do you feel about it? In a way, it's a little bit annoying because I'm old school and kind of like the phone call talking to a person. But on the other hand, it occurred to me that when you have a text message coming in and it has in writing when your appointment day and time is, and you can confirm it right there from your phone. Maybe that's kind of handy because in the event that there's a discrepancy with your appointment date or time, you have it in writing. Well, it shows right here that you confirmed me it for Thursday at 2 with Dr. Smith. So, I don't know, just a thought. Text messaging, maybe that's not the worst thing. Okay, and my thing number three this week is a quote. Helping one person might not change the world, but it might change the world for one person. So often we think, well, I'm just one person, or I can only give enough to help one person, and what good is that going to do? Well, every little bit helps. Every one little thing that we do or help with is a help. Let's not diminish the little bit that we can do. Focus on what we can do and do it. Be a good person. Do the best you can do and have a great weekend. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast. Featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
Visit my all-new freddiebell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at freddiebell.com. freddiebell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
I'm Freddie Bell, and it happened this week. A jury in California is back with a verdict in a civil case against Bill Cosby. They've decided that the comedian is guilty of sexually assaulting a then-teenage girl at the Playboy Mansion back in 1975. A U.S. State Department official says Russia will absolutely not return to its pre-war status. The official didn't go into details on what that meant for American-Russian relations, but says there is frequent conversations between the two countries, including talks around detained American Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. The official says it's hard to hold talks with Russia about detained Americans due to the processes put in place to prevent quick contact with those in custody. And Trevor Noah is taking The Daily Show on the road for the midterm elections in November. Noah will take his late-night series to the battleground states of Georgia and host the show in Atlanta. This marks the first time the show will hit the road since the start of COVID-19. Guests for the Atlanta shows will be announced at a later time. The episodes are scheduled to air from October 31st through November 3rd. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski is announcing his retirement. This will be the second retirement for the 33-year-old free agent who played two seasons with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers after eight with the New England Patriots. In an Instagram post, Gronk says he's walking away from football again with his head held high, knowing that he gave it everything he had. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. Please welcome an individual who is really, really talented as we go to Minneapolis Public Schools now. She is a visual arts and mural arts and arts integration teacher at Justice Page Middle School. Say good morning to Alyssa Cedarleaf Dahl. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So happy to be here. Right before school starts, we have just a couple more days in the school year. I'm over here in Harrison neighborhood and Northside. So good morning to all my Northside neighbors and my students that I'll see in an hour or so.
You've received a Fulbright Distinguished Award in Teaching Research Program awarded to carry out the educational research in Columbia. You got to be excited about that.
I'm excited. You know, it's a wild time to find out that I got this award coming into the last few days of school. It's been a really big school year. And, you know, just trying to wrap things up with my students and the idea of traveling with my family to Columbia next spring for the spring semester and doing this research. It's so exciting. And, you know, I'm excited to get there, but for now it's kind of a day-by-day thing. Yes, I'm honored. I'm honored to get this award. And, you know, it's been special to find out that I got it before school gets out here and have my colleagues congratulate me and my students and families, you know, get excited for me, because it helps me get excited too and know that they believe that this work is important for me to do and are excited to see the fruits of it.
Tell us about the work you'll be doing in Columbia.
Well, in Columbia, I'm going to be specifically going to the city of Medellin. So thinking about your little intro there, Freddie, you were talking about savory green, and Medellin, Colombia, is the city of eternal spring. It's pretty green and tropical there. They have a pretty notorious past in Medellin. And since, you know, the 90s, when the city was basically run by drug lords, there's been a huge turnaround there where people in neighborhoods like the Comuna 13 neighborhood, where, you know, some of the most dangerous cities in the planet, have made a huge turnaround. And now Medellin is winning innovation awards and finding creative ways to embrace its poorest and most complicated areas. So in Medellin, street art has been a way that they have helped move into a new chapter and narrate the city and memorialize people who have passed on or have been killed in the complications of their past. And they have this rich, rich presence of muralism and graffiti and street art that is just proclaiming who they are. And living in Minneapolis my whole life, living in here in Northside, working in Southside, you know, I feel like Minneapolis is coming out of despair and emergencies after the murder of George Floyd. And, you know, for more than a year and continuing, we are still in the international spotlight. We are looking at our police violence. There's still protests and love risings and riots. And we find ourselves in Minneapolis trying to move forward with uncertainty. Even though we still have crime going on, we still have some pandemic limitations, you know, we are still kind of live and wait and see, but it's time for a rebuild. And I see that Comuna 13 and these different areas of Medellin, Colombia, use street art as part of their rebuild. So I see that also happening here. After George Floyd's murder, our artists, our people in Minneapolis responded with murals and street art. We put our messages out on the street for everyone to see. We put our sadness, we put our hope, we put our voices out there, and there's some power in that. So as a muralist myself, I find, you know, that there's so much value in bringing this form of art to the classroom, too. How we can take our messages of anger and hope and change in this visual presentation into the classroom, and what value does it have for our students in talking it over and seeing it supported by our communities. So I want to go down there. I want to see what Medellin did with their street art and muralism, to think about their past, to describe their past, but also to bring messages of hope for their future in their street art, and see how we parallel with them after what we've been through the last couple of years here in Minneapolis.
So how will you bring that message of hope into your classroom?
Well, right now, I teach murals classes to my students at Justice Page School. So I teach middle school, and every year we do a mural project from start to finish. And the students are a part of learning what murals are. They learn about where they are, why they're made, and then they learn the process of making one, investing in the community, talking to stakeholders, coming up with designs, getting approval, and then finally getting to paint it and install it. I've been doing this for 6 or 7 years. I've gotten to work with amazing Twin Cities muralists. I've gotten to put murals in our school and beyond. This year, we're actually partnering with a school in Puerto Rico. So we're doing part of their mural. They're doing part of ours. And I just see this opportunity to study muralism in Medellin as a way for me to bring some of my mural curriculum down to teachers there. Because part of it is I go and partner with educational institutions down in Colombia. And then also just see what they're doing down there and bring that back to my classroom here in Minneapolis. I've been teaching art now for, unofficially about 20 years in Minneapolis Public Schools, and I do get the opportunity to train other art teachers in our district on the power of muralism and the curriculum around it.
That's so exciting. What do you have a final thought? We're just about out of time. Do you have a final thought for your students, your colleagues, about this award and the future of education, Elizabeth Cedarleaf Dahl? What would you say?
Alyssa Cedarleaf Dahl, close is my name, and the, you know, future education, I think sometimes we have to look beyond our city for ideas. And I think that this is an opportunity for me, someone who's grown up here and invested so much in Minneapolis and Minneapolis Public Schools, to see a different model, to see something fresh, and to bring it back to make my community better. So that's what this award is for, and I encourage others to try it too.
Congratulations. She's a Fulbright Distinguished Award winner. She's at Justice Page Middle School, and thank you for being with us this morning. And again, congratulations.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came.
Do you coast along in life for a while to be free of responsibility? Power and potential, that's our point of focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
By coasting, you might find temporary relief from seeming demands, but you've got to do more than coast to develop your full potential. Right now, choose to exercise power and potential. Just as surely as exercising your physical body and developing your muscles makes you strong, so does exercising your mental power and your mental potential. Use your power to enable you to become a better, wiser, healthier, and even more prosperous person than you were before. When you use your power and potential, you experience true growth through using all that you have to bring to the table. Power and potential, our point of focus. If you'd like to learn more, I'd welcome the chance to speak to your organization. To learn how, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now it's time to turn to the fun side of my desk. If you work out more, the question is, do you work more money? It's a good thing that you've been working out because, according to a study, you'll need those muscles to lift your heavy paycheck. The study from Cleveland State University found that employees who work out at least 3 times a week earn 9% more than those who don't work out as regularly. And workers who go to the gym less frequently, even just 1 to 3 times per month, still make about 5% more than employees who don't work out at all. Past research has found that exercise such as running, swimming, or cycling increases your intelligence, positive attitude, and energy levels. In other words, if exercise is making you feel good, you may do a better job, and that could translate to a higher salary. Here are 4 things you probably didn't know this week. In 1997, a Chinese cargo ship lost its cargo of 480,000 cans of beer when it went down in heavy seas. And while all 10 crew members were rescued, the beer couldn't be saved from the ocean. A 1 minute kiss burns 26 calories. And I bet you didn't know that it's believed that Ötzi, the Iceman, a 5,300-year-old glacial mummy found in a cave in Austria, made pancakes cooked over coals. And Russia has the most trees. Roughly 45% of the country is forest. And finally, they say what women say it can be an instant turnoff. Guys, listen up. You've hit it off with a wonderful woman, and things are starting to get really serious. What's going to kill her attraction to you? Here's what women said in a survey. If I go over to their place and it's a total wreck, I'm not talking about a few dirty dishes in the sink or laundry on the floor. I'm talking about the fellas that very clearly just don't clean up after themselves. And old food starting its own ecosystem, kind of dirty, right? Clean hands with clean and trimmed fingernails. You don't have to get a manicure, but before you lay those hands on my face, she says, neck, back, or anywhere else, groom them. And take care of your feet, man. If he has toenails that could strongly assist him climb a tree, she says, I'm out. And bragging. Nothing screams insecure like bragging. And finally, check his social media to see what kind of person he really is, the organizations he follows, the posts he likes, and so on. She says she does this after the first date so as not to spoil it, but very often a person's true beliefs are found online. It's from the fun side of the desk. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Leibel Sternbach. He is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. So let's pick up on the discussion where we started last week. We've been talking about what to do with your 401k when you retire. And Leibel, you were just mentioning that it becomes a personal feeling, so to speak, when you talk about paying off debts in retirement, paying off mortgage in retirement. And if you can reiterate that point, what should we do? Should we pay off the mortgage? Should we pay down the debt? And you said it's a personal feeling or a personal thought about how we handle those kinds of debts in retirement.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, right? At least my view of it, there's with every financial decision in retirement and in life in general, but very much so in retirement. It has an outsized influence in retirement. Is we really have to look at these questions, every financial question, and we need to ask ourselves, you know, not just what does the dollars and cents say to do, but what do we emotionally need? What do we need from our health perspective, from our, you know, a quality of life perspective, right? From a financial perspective, you should live on rice and beans because that will give you the most money. But from an emotional perspective, right, from a, this is not what I worked my entire life for, right? It wasn't for living on rice and beans. You want to enjoy these years. So you don't live on rice and beans, right? And you enjoy yourself and you splurge and you go out, you know, to dinner with friends. These are things that are equally important, if not more important. And so when we talk about retirement and we talk about debt in retirement, we need to look at both the financial dollars and cents and does it make sense for us. But then we very much need a way and, you know, perhaps even give it a, you know, a greater weight of what can we live with, right? Will this take away from our enjoyment of our retirement? Will this bring us, you know, anxiety and worry? Is this something that keeps us up at night? Will this prevent us from enjoying this time that we have, that we worked so hard for? And if the answer is yes, this is going to hurt our lives, right? This is going to take away from our enjoyment. It's going to stress us out and take years off of our future, our health-wise, then you probably don't want to be in debt, right? Or maybe you want to have, you know, a lower amount of debt than what the dollars and cents say you should. Having said that, let's talk about the dollars and cents, right? The dollars and cents of debt is that there is good debt and there's bad debt. And, you know, Dave Ramsey is, you know, famous for saying that there's no such thing as good debt because he takes the view for him personally, the view of the emotional consequences of having debt and the decisions that having debt causes For him, that's not worth it, right? So for him, the quality of life is way more important of not having debt. Most people are somewhere in the middle. So dollars and cents of good and bad debt. Good debt, I define as something that helps you achieve your dreams, is something that doesn't hurt your long-term financial stability. I talk about this. I have an entire chapter on this in my book, Living with Financial Anxiety, and the difference between good and bad debt. This is good debt, right? You know, you get, let's say you got a mortgage a few years ago, really low interest rate. And the payments, the cost to service that debt is very manageable. It's reasonable. It's something you can fit in your budget. And it's not going to change dramatically over time. Then why not keep it, right? Just treat it as, you know, no different than your cable bill, right? You pay for cable and that gives you access to, you know, all these channels and this entertainment. Same thing with you're paying for your boat or for your condo or for whatever it is, as long as it's sustainable and, you know, within reason. Now, bad debt, right? We can look at the same thing and say, well, if we have an adjustable rate mortgage or it's a high mortgage, high interest rate, and the payments, right? If we have maybe a smaller property or a smaller debt, or we can pay that off, and we would make more money invested in the market than we're paying for interest. You know, let's say your interest rate is 7%. Well, you could probably make, you know, similar or more in the market with that same amount of money. So now you start getting into the question of, well, does it make sense to have this mortgage? Should we be paying the mortgage or not? Is it helping us or hurting us? But I'm gonna be honest with you. You know the answer to this question, right? Every person I've ever talked to, they know the answer to this question up front. And you generally, when they bring this question up to me and they ask, should I have it or not? The only reason why they're on the fence is because they want someone to tell them, don't make that stupid decision. Or that decision that you're making that you think is right, you know, and you just need someone to tell you, yeah, you were right that this is one of those exceptions, that you actually have a really good deal here and it's not going to hurt your financial future. But I can count on one hand the number of people who just consistently make bad financial decisions. They do exist, but for the most part, you know, when it comes to things like this, you know whether this is going to help you or hurt you. You also know the non-financial sides of things, of like, you know, is this going to help you in the long run or not? And some people are self-sabotaging. You know who you are, right? If you're a self-sabotager, and if you are, then listening to my podcast isn't going to help you. Go hire a financial advisor who speaks to your heart and can keep you in line, because that is the only way you're going to keep from self-sabotaging. Everyone else, I mean, you guys, most people know, you know, the right or wrong when it comes to these decisions, and make the decision that you can live with.
It's interesting how much a personal, your personal life, your thoughts and your feelings, your emotions play into your financial future. Everybody, we're talking with Leibel Sternbach. If you like some information on what we've been covering today, you can go to yieldsforyou.com or also pick up the book, Living with Financial Anxiety. I'm just curious, as we continue this discussion with Leibel Sternbach, you mentioned paying off the debts. You mentioned good debts versus bad debt. Maybe I figured out that, okay, I don't have quite the amount of money that I need in retirement, Leibel. So what about making money in retirement? Can I go out and get a job and make a few extra dollars? How does that impact me? And I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. It depends.
So working in retirement, you could definitely work in retirement. Okay. There is one time, there's two times where working in retirement can hurt you. And this is something you should keep in mind. If you are taking early Social Security, so you're taking early benefits, i.e. claiming before your full retirement age, if you're doing that, then your Social Security check will be reduced or can be reduced for if you earn above the threshold. And it's kind of an all or nothing thing, that threshold. So you want to make sure that if you are counting on that Social Security check and you're claiming and taking early benefits, that the amount that you're earning in your work doesn't exceed that threshold. Otherwise, you're going to end up probably dipping into your savings more than you intended to, and it would do you more harm than good. So that's scenario number one. And I do talk about that in my Social Security maximization guide. I talk about, you know, how to know what that, what those limits are and how that's calculated. So that's number one. Number two, for working early that can, you know, working in retirement that can hurt you is if you are earning income in a way that increases your taxable income, you know, your tax brackets in a way that can negatively impact you. In retirement, you control your income and you control the way that it's paid. So you want to try to get paid and you want to try to earn money, you know, do it as a business, as a consultant. Don't do it as a W-2 because that's taxable income. Do it as a 1099 so you can write off expenses and see, you know, net it out. Have them, you know, maybe pay you in January instead of December so that you can control what your taxable income is in that year, because in retirement, taxes really makes a difference. And it's one of the biggest expenses that you can control. So you want to make sure that you don't, that you're smart about how you control that expense in retirement.
Michael Sternbach with us. We're talking about your 401k and what you should do with your 401k when you retire. And I just was asking about making money in retirement. So let's go to the other side. Is there a good rule of thumb for how to spend each year in retirement?
So when it comes to spending, there are lots of schools of thought of how much money retirement is going to cost. I'm going to give you some of the rules of thumb. I don't subscribe to any of them. I believe that nothing is a substitute for actually creating a budget and then being flexible with yourself. The schools of thought out there, and I use this when I help people plan for retirement, I use these rules of thumb because they're easy rules of thumb to be able to tell you, I've got a green light to retire, or, you know, I've got to look at things harder. But that's all they are, you know, do I have something to work with, or should I be, you know, do I need to do more work? So the rules of thumb, biggest rule of thumb is the 4% rule. The 4% rule is not a live and die rule. But it is something that is a good estimation of, do I have enough money to retire? And the 4% rule simply states that if I took 4% of my retirement savings each year, in theory, I would have enough money to retire. I'm not going to go into the details of what that 4% rule actually says, but I'm going to use it in that context. So 4% is a sustainable amount that you can take out of your portfolio each year, in theory. What this translates to is that it gives you 25 years of retirement savings until your money is depleted, right? Now, if your money can last for 25 years without growing at all, right, that's essentially what, you know, 100 divided by 4, right, 25.
Right.
So you got 25 years. 25 years gives you, you know, it gives you the ability to say, yes, I can probably sustain this. This is a good idea. This is a starting point where I can now work on, okay, how do I make it so that my money is growing faster than 4% a year? How do I keep my expenses under 4% so that I'm not taking out that full 4%? If you look at that and that number isn't enough to cover your expenses, then you've got to really either look at what your expenses are or look at your portfolio and say, I need more of this or less of the expenses. But it is a good rule of thumb. Another rule of thumb that I've heard, I don't like it so much, is doing things like, you know, saying that your expenses in retirement are going to be the same, or saying it's going to be 80%. I honestly think that those are garbage. The first few years of retirement, your expenses, I think, are actually going to be greater. The pandemic really taught everyone this one, that when we stay home from work, right, our expenses go up. And the most interesting thing, expense that went up was like toilet paper, right? Toilet paper, electricity. You don't realize how much of these little resources you use up at work that now you are going to have to pay for at home. So your costs are probably going to increase, not decrease, in retirement. So it's something to keep in mind. I would really keep a budget first few years, be a little flexible with it, and find a nice point that works for you, you're also going to be doing something with all this time that you used to be working, right? You're going to pick up hobbies. You're going to do activities. You're going to want to travel. That costs money. There are ways to do it for free. There's ways to do it for low cost, but these are things that you weren't doing before.
Makes sense. We got to leave it right there. But if you like more information, yieldsforyou.com. And what is the guide that you have, Social Security and Retirement, Lipel?
Yeah, so we got the 5-minute Social Security Maximization Guide. And then we also got 5 questions to ask before you retire that goes through each of these points.
Thank you, Lipel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Lipel's website is LipelOnFire.com. That's LipelOnFire.com. And more new beginnings is straight ahead.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Spread the word that you are enough. You are it.
And to me, excuse me for getting on my ministerial soapbox.
Oh, please.
But for me, that essential idea, Kelly, that you shared is so important in a world where many people are questioning.
Yes.
Is religion even relevant anymore? And praise God that we can have that conversation. I want people to be able to ask a question like that. Be free enough to bring it to the table and to discuss it. But I just know how much it means to me as an individual to hold to that God connection, my connection with life, and how it makes the difference in everything. And it's like, I wonder as a minister, Unity or any kind of minister, the numbers are dwindling in the church, but yet logic tells me we can develop new ways of connecting, new ways of celebrating life. And just because some of the ways we've been used to, hey, I grew up in the church, and the things we did are changing, and people aren't finding always those forms of worship to be meaningful, that doesn't mean they have to let go of the essential idea. And so how do we envision that going forward? Because many of you ask, oh, we want to see more people here in Unity South. Well, we are reaching out through the internet, but what people love is to come into a gathering where everybody is on fire with how much they want to be here. What a difference it makes in their life, how they connect with other people. And that kind of an atmosphere, as we sustain it, they pour in the doors. People want to be in that environment. And that, I feel, is our mission as a ministry, is to maintain, although the forms may change and how we do things, but maintaining this community where people feel, as our sign says out there, embraced, loved, and empowered.
Absolutely.
When they come into this community. Absolutely. Okay, I'll get off my box.
You know, just talking about that, it's interesting because what I've learned from this church, and it even sometimes feels funny to call it a church, because really unity becomes a way of life, a way of being, correct? Can I get an amen for that? It is.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not just about Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:30. And I recognize that in my own life. I recognize that when I'm on a walk, that I see God in the trees, that I see my dogs as expressions, that I see my children as expressions, that I do my very best to see the driver next to me as an expression of God as well. I'm not always successful. I have lots of opportunity to continue to stretch my spiritual muscle, and by coming here regularly, by dedicating myself to living these principles, because it's one thing to have them intellectually, and I think that's probably what was going on in your mind. Because I've had a similar experience. I wasn't raising my fist, but I had to pull my car over to the side of the road, and I was hitting the steering wheel saying, I'm not going to do this any longer. And I think that was a pivotal moment where things moved from the intellect into a physical, into the heart space, into a reflective self-commitment that said, I'm committing myself to being different. And by doing that, you know, we're entering into a space that we don't necessarily know what that looks, sounds, and feels like. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we're becoming in those moments, right? And so it takes a faith, and it takes courage to be willing to drop a lot of the old. We know what the old has brought us, and we know who we are, but it takes courage and faith to go out and become someone that we don't necessarily have a roadmap for.
I agree. And some of our beloved traditions, even in unity, we have to reassess at times. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a class during the week. Some of you are here from that class, The Keys to the Kingdom. And in our discussion, some people have brought up, and I've heard this before, I heard it from a dear friend back in Kansas City in one of my classes, just saying, wait a minute, an affirmation, I'm just supposed to take a positive statement and repeat it over and over and over and over until I believe it? We have to go back and relearn, what did we mean by positive prayer in unity? And in that class, I feel we kind of cleaned up our act a little bit. Our founder, Myrtle Fillmore, cautioned someone who wrote to her and said, Mrs. Fillmore, I'm standing here and I'm saying, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu, I don't have the flu. And she said, but I still have the flu. And Myrtle said, dear, unity doesn't ask you to deny or affirm some fact of your life, some circumstance, something temporary. We ask you to affirm the truth of who you are. And that goes back to what we both discovered, our connection to life, our connection to God, and to keep affirming that and bringing our attention back to it. We don't go out here with the facts of our life or our daily routine or those people that are driving around you on 494 and affirm them out of our lives. Deny that they exist. This traffic is not really here. That's a corruption of the unity idea. Our statements of affirmation, denial, positive prayer, meditation, whatever we want to call them, is about bringing us back to that first love, that truth But it's a way of life, a daily commitment.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Happy weekend, everybody. And today is National Catfish Day. This is a day, yes, National Catfish Day. It's a day that celebrates the value of farm-raised catfish. Blackened, fried, boiled, yes, boiled catfish. And here are today's words to the wise. There's always a way, some way. Today's words to the wise, there's always a way, some way. You can find more information at my website, freddiebell.com. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. What a show with Lytle Sternbach in talking about finance and retirement. We also had lifestyle information and also the news from the week. We'll come back next week with our weekend show, the first weekend in July, as summer is really heating up across the nation. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell saying that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Thanks for joining us.